is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Well, on Monday night, Roseburg City Council approving the purchase of a building that is ultimately going to be used as a homeless navigation center. We're going to talk about that with Roseburg City Manager Nikki Messenger. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
So talk about, this, you know, seems like a big purchase, but this has been a long process to get there. Talk about that.
Yeah, so we learned in 2021 during the legislative session, during the rebalancing bill, that Gary Leaf had worked really hard to get a navigation center in Roseburg included in that rebalancing bill. So we have since that time been working really hard to try and find a location to make that happen, because the strings that come with that state money is that it needs to be operating by June 30th of 2022.
Now, a lot of people involved in this, besides yourself, who else are we talking about?
So we've got, we formed a homeless commission that is chaired by our mayor, Larry Rich, and we've got the executive directors of UCAN, of Umpqua Health, of Aviva, and then we've also got Shelley Briggs Loosley and Mike Fieldman, who was a former director of UCAN and has a lot of experience in this area. They're helping us out by serving on that homeless commission. And bringing a lot of expertise and potentially resources in the future to help make this thing happen.
Now, I was trying to look back at this a little bit ago. Is it federal money or is it state money, or is it federal money that went to the state that now is coming here?
I believe this is state money. So this was part of the rebalancing bill during that last legislative, not the special sessions, but the regular session.
And when you talk navigation center, that's kind of a new term. What all do you expect to ultimately be able to do there?
That's been one of the interesting challenges, is everybody thinks it's something a little bit different, and it's actually written into legislation what that means. So it's a place that is open 24/7 for sheltering, a low barrier shelter, meaning there cannot be anything that requires sobriety, cannot be religious attachments, a number of things, but also provides opportunity for wraparound services so that people can get some services that they need, hopefully to be moving forward and bettering their situation.
So is this model, is this something that you guys have seen other places, other cities?
So there are a few navigation centers of varying degrees of what they offer. What we're really hoping to model after is what they've done down in the Medford area with Rogue Retreat, which is really based on a hand up, not just a hand out. So the wraparound services moving folks forward towards permanent housing.
And how long has that been going in Medford?
They've been at it for well over 20 years, so they have done it wrong in the past, learn from their mistakes, and so we want to build on their expertise, listen to what they've learned over their many tries, and they've really now got a system that seems to be working for folks. And you can't help everyone, but they do have a track record of success, and we really look forward to learning from them.
So it seems like it's advantageous to be jumping in at this point after they've been doing it for all these years, and look at that.
Yeah, we definitely don't want to be reinventing the wheel, because this is not an area that the city of Roseburg has expertise in. So we're relying on our community partners and then also those that have already done these things to learn from them and try and not repeat other mistakes and use their expertise to try and get this thing right.
So you talked about partners. Who's going to operate this?
So we're still working on that. We think we're pretty close to having an agreement with a partner, but they have not... We've not finalized that yet, so we're not ready to announce that until that gets closer to a finalization.
So would they, whoever it ends up being, whatever organization, then basically you have a contract with them for a certain amount per year, or how does that work?
Yeah, so we would enter into a contract with them that defined what the services were that they were going to provide, what that looks like, and then what the cost of those services, what portion of that the city would be responsible for, because we do expect that we're going to have some contributions from other community partners, and there's going to be some fundraising elements as well.
And is that something that you could, you or the partner agency could reach out to various philanthropic organizations or the state in terms of grants every year?
That's part of the plan, is that we will be approaching the state about, yes, we have this navigation center, we got it open, we met that goal, can you help look at future funding for operations?
So the location is down on Mill Street, 948 Southeast Mill, just a little south of the downtown area. Talk about what that building has been and how big it is and why you picked it.
So that building, for the last few years, since I think 2017, has been part of UCAN's network, and they have some office space in there now that they renovated when they bought the building, I think, in 2017. As far as we can tell, going back further than that, it was part of a log scaling operation of some sort, so it's had some different things over the years. But it's about a 7,400 square foot building that really lends itself into opening up. It's a structure that can be very open on the inside. It's been broken down into office space right now, but it's really easy to take those walls out as they are not load-bearing and make some improvements that could lead to congregate sheltering in a portion of the building in the future.
So going into this, did you kind of have a square foot size range that you were looking at as you looked at other properties?
So we were looking at anything and everything that we thought might fit the bill. And I think if we had more time, more money, more everything, we would still be looking for some larger properties. I know that this is really just phase one in what could be to come, in that it will not be that urban campground that I believe a lot of folks want to see, which is where we have availability for a place for tents to go. This is not going to be that, but that is still on the radar for potentially a future phase at some point.
And obviously, in the city limits of Roseburg, there's a lot of property, but there's not a lot of places to just start from scratch.
Correct. Starting from scratch was both expensive. We looked at several parcels that maybe had a lot more acreage and were reasonably priced, but the price to bring the infrastructure to them was more than the price of the property. And then you add the timeline of trying to get all that done before June of this year, and it just really was not doable. So we were super excited to find an existing structure that can work.
Well, and if you were really starting with building now, you wouldn't make it, especially slow, given some of the supply chain issues with products and people and all of that. What about the location? Were you looking to be near the downtown area, or were you looking all over?
We've been looking all over. We looked at quite a few parcels that were out Diamond Lake area, and then you get into an issue with how far out can you really be and have people that have limited transportation able to use it. So it's a double-edged sword the further out you get.
And when you look at the location, was it one that once you saw it, it clicked real quickly, or did it still take a lot of time to kind of do some due diligence on it?
So we have toured that, I think we're getting close to half a dozen times now, because we brought staff, took a look at it with the mayor and Shelley Briggs Loosely, who's a city councilor that's been on this kind of subcommittee that's helping us look for property. And then we came back with the Douglas County Building Department and the Fire Department to see if there was any photo flaws. And then we came back again with some folks from Rogue Retreat to see what they thought of the setup, both the structure, the location, the parking lot, all of it, and if it would be a proper site for what we wanted to do. And then we came back with an architect. And then we're scheduled again next week to take a look with a structural engineer. So we have not jumped in overly quickly. We want to make sure that it's the right fit. And so far, it's all been good news.
All right, going to take a break. Back with more in a moment on Inside Douglas County. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245, News Radio 1240, KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247, Lars Larson coming at 1. Later, Umpqua Valley Live. We'll be looking at arts, entertainment, community activities, part of KQEN Local Talk at 4. On Monday's program, Dr. Rachel Pockrand, president of Umpqua Community College, will be in. We'll talk about some college happenings right now, things that are going on. City of Roseburg manager Nikki Messenger in talking about the Navigation Center for the Homeless. City Council approving that on Monday night. Well, you've got the building now. You, obviously, there's still a process real estate-wise that it's got to take place and all of that. But then you get into the remodeling idea on how much that's going to cost.
We haven't started building those estimates, but I wouldn't be surprised if the remodel is right in line with about how much it costs for the building itself, because we did get a really fair price on that. But we'll start getting those estimates here pretty soon.
And given everything in the marketplace, especially in building right now, do you feel like you'll be able to get enough done to actually be open ahead of that deadline?
So our plan there is really a phased approach. UCAN was able to purchase last year what are called pallet shelters. And so our plan really is to start with putting those pallet shelters, I think there's 10 of them, out in the parking lot. They bought those on the behalf of City of Roseburg with some grant funding. And so we'll start with those in the parking lot. That'll be where we start to house folks. We can provide those navigations. Our service providers can provide those navigation services in the building while we remodel the remainder of the building. So again, it's going to be a phased approach. It's going to allow us the flexibility to do the remodel while operating at the same time.
Roseburg is not unique. There's cities everywhere that seem like they're dealing with a situation of homeless, unhoused folks, and it's certainly a bigger problem in some areas. Anyone who's driven through Portland in the last year or so, some of the things you see there. How much has this whole COVID pandemic complicated all the work behind this?
It's complicated life in general, right, for everybody, but it's also complicated things around this. Part of it from an enforcement standpoint, you know, we had for a long time governor's executive orders that said that we needed to leave people in place, and we abided by that, and we were doing cleanups of garbage in and around camps while leaving the camps alone. And then once that was dropped, we did start some enforcement efforts again. But it's still a limited effort when we don't have a facility for folks to go to. And this facility is not going to house everybody that is out there right now. And we're aware of that. But we've got that complicated by the fact that with COVID, there are no consequences. People are not just with homeless, but across the board, you see cite and release for things that normally have consequences, right? Normally the officer can take that person, and I'm not speaking just to homelessness, but to or to crimes that are committed out there. They can take them to jail and there's an instant consequence. Right now with COVID restrictions on how many people can be at the jail, that there's just not the same level of consequences, and that has an impact on how the police are operating all across the board. So that's been one of the major impacts for us, which is not just on this issue. Like I said, it's across the board.
Well, and people don't always understand when they just see a local situation is that all these protocols, guidance, whatever, come from sometimes a federal or state level, and you get told as a city official, you can do this, but you can't do this right now because we have this situation going on, and probably people in town don't always realize that.
Yeah, we have not made any of these rules. These are all rules that we are trying to follow. You know, Cody at the YMCA has a great saying, we don't make the rules, we don't break the rules, and that's the world that we've been living in as city government.
So when this is up and running then, and we're farther along in things, is there going to be more of an effort then to deal with some of the camping issues with parks and areas like that?
Yes, that's the hope, especially around the, you know, the garbage, the illegal accumulation of stuff. There are some court decisions that say that sleeping on public property is not a crime, and we abide by all of those. And so there's some complications there, but the criminal activities can be better addressed once COVID has run its course.
Now, the Homeless Commission was formed how long ago?
It started in January of this year, or of 2021, excuse me.
So what's the kind of the role of this group overall?
So the role of this group overall was really to help us navigate, for lack, no pun intended, but how to best approach dealing with the homeless issues. the city of Roseburg has never provided social services before, and so this is a major pivot for us. We do not receive any funding to deal with homeless issues. This $1.5 million for the Navigation Center is the very first funding that we've really received to deal with this social issue, and so it's been a pivot for us to try and figure out the best way to do that. And this has assisted us by bringing in people that are in the social service arena to help us make those decisions.
And I would imagine, you know, there have been times over the years, council meetings and other things where, for instance, you didn't also used to operate a library, you know, and that was a shift too. And when situations changed and in a direction, a new direction was looked at, it seems like there's been a lot of those kind of challenges in the last few years.
Yes, there has definitely been some things that we have been learning as we do.
And staffing wise, you've got all this going on to just even address this issue. Have you had to add more staff, or are you doing it with the people that were already there?
Right now, we're doing it with the people that were already there.
Has that been a challenge?
It really has. The assistant city manager, city recorder, Amy Soa, and I spend a significant amount of time on this every single week. But, you know, our team is great, and they're willing to help in any way they can. It's, like I said, it's a pivot, though, to try and navigate.
And I'm curious, just in general, what has it been like to manage a city during a pandemic?
Well, we've almost been in the pandemic the entire time I've been city manager.
I was just thinking that.
I officially became city manager in September of 2019. So about 4 months later, we went into COVID. It's been challenging because things change rather quickly on the rules as far as for, especially as an employer, what the rules are have changed so many times. And, you know, I can't give enough shout outs to the staff at the city. They've been flexible. And as the rules change and we roll them out to try to abide by them, folks have been really good about just doing what they need to do, coming to work, doing their jobs.
And I know that in the education community, especially last school year, as we went through kind of the lockdown time, that it was basically, if you had any kind of governmental job, it kind of became a 7-day-a-week job.
At times, yeah. It's been interesting to try and keep up with some of the changes, but we do try and honor our employees and try and balance their quality of life as well, because they all have lives outside of what they're doing at the city of Roseburg as well.
Well, and as we've gone through the pandemic, you know, even backing up before this, I didn't ever get releases from the governor's office on Sunday mornings. You know, that has happened. That has changed. It comes and goes. I mean, sometimes you don't have that situation happen for a while, but certainly there were several months there where I was getting contacted at all hours, and I'm sure you were as well.
Yeah, less so around COVID, but, you know, being a new city manager and having a couple of departments that run 24/7, there's definitely some notices that you get on things that are going on that you didn't know before you took this position.
So about 30 seconds left. What's the next few months going to be like dealing with all this?
So we're going to be busy trying to get the Navigation Center pulled off. That's really our focus as far as the homeless issues. And then we will continue to look at what the next phases bring, and really hoping that the COVID is at the end of its role. I hope we're headed out of this thing.
All right. Roseburg City Manager Nikki Messenger, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
1257 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team, News Radio 1240 KQEN.